Do you want every word of baseball analysis from Big Guy Fantasy Sports sent directly to your inbox each and every day? In that case, head on over to BigGuyFantasySports.com, find the box that says BGFS Daily Fantasy Blast, type in your name and email address, then click subscribe. It's that simple. Don't fall behind your competition on waiver wire trends, prospect scouting reports, streaming options, or even DFS picks to click. Subscribe to the BigGuyFantasySports.com newsletter today.
You're listening to the Big Guy Fantasy Sports Podcast Network. Welcome to the Nasty Cast.
Hello and welcome to episode 116 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by Dots Pretzels. I'm Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin, and I am very excited to bring back the manly man himself. It is the return of the manly Van Lee man.
That is in fact true. I am back in black. Actually, you know what? We always make the joke that people won't know whether or not we're wearing pants. The truth of the matter is, this is the first podcast I've ever done where I'm legitimately not wearing pants. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much more comfortable are you now that I've told you that?
Is there a negative?
No, it's a positive number. We all know it's a positive number.
Okay, well, I'm a very positive individual, so I'm going to say 10.
Well, I'm happy to be back and glad that that's a number 10.
That's not all that's number 10. Hey-o, speaking of making people uncomfortable, Ron Rigney is back with us this week. Hey, welcome back, man.
Hey, glad to be here. That's quite an introduction to the hellaciously now manly Van Lee with the no pants.
Glad to set that up for you. Yeah, I mean, really want to paint the picture so that way you know it's like you're in the room with me.
Picture painted, my man.
But how do you smell?
I smell delightful. I always smell delightful. I basically just set off my own musk, and it's attracting bees, but other than that, it's great.
Well, 60% of the time it works every time. So.
Indeed. All right, so we took a week off. There was some possibility, I guess, of a nasty cast without the Nate Dockin, but that just did not happen as I was burning the yeah. Thanks. As I was burning the top of my scalp in Mexico. My God, that sun is a lot different there than it is in North Dakota.
I'm waiting for some really racist things to come out of your mouth right now.
Oh, the tacos y enchiladas were fantastic. Oh.
Magnifico.
Yeah.
Muy bueno.
Exactly. No, I had a freaking blast, man. But, you know, at least you guys were able to, well, not you guys, but Ron, you and Miller were able to pump out a bonus episode of BG Baseball. So if the people out there were subscribed to the BGFS network, they at least got a bonus midweek episode there. But we are back in no pants, but we are back anyway. so on today's
show. Well, you just said it was hot. So, I mean, you know, what's one way to fix that? You just take off the pants. Problem solved.
Well, I didn't wear pants for nary a moment, Van.
I'm proud of you.
While I was in Mexico. And now, however, it's like 40 degrees and raining, sleeting, / I don't know, just being miserable here in North Dakota again. Back to the grind. Joy. But on today's show, we will talk about our sunburns and pants and injuries in Major League Baseball, as well as suspensions. We're going to play legit or quit with some early season performances. We're going to look into some bullpens, some prospects, and we're going to round out the show with some streamers, if that sounds okay to you guys.
No? Excellent, excellent.
Okay. I'm deferring to Ron here. I have no opinion on the matter.
I think it sounds amazing, and I'm ready to go.
Very good. Okay. First thing I want to do off the top of the show before I forget, I was on the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast earlier this week. So if you are not subscribed to that, I was joined by the likes of Yancey Eaton, Michael Yavnieli, and Jason Consoli on that show. Had a ball with those guys, so go check that out. Also on the Twitter, you can find us at NastyCastBGFS. Ron is at TheRealMadei. And, of course, the man, Lee Van Lee, is at ManlyVanLee. appropriately enough. And you can tweet at me if you want pretzels or a t-shirt or anything like that at Nathan Dokken. And of course, if you want both of those things or either, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes and make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. We always love it when we get some positive feedback. You know, if you don't like the show, then just go sit on one. Don't review that. Don't review
that. I'm the other way. I get motivated by the negative feedback because it makes me so angry that I go on one of my patented rants and then everyone's disappointed. So it works out for the better.
Well, in that case, leave us a one star. No, don't really do that.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
They can just tweet their vitriol towards you on Twitter.
Yeah, send me some hateful 140 count messages and we'll go from there.
Right. All right. But we've enough of the BS. We've got to get out of here before the season 3 premiere of Fargo is on. I totally forgot that was tonight. So hard out officially. We've got to get going. But let's start off with some news. And that is going to be Starling Marte, of course, the biggest news of the recent week. We're going to sort of, I don't know, bypass the stuff from last week. We'll go with the news from earlier this week and sort of the weekend since the BG Baseball guys covered the news from last week. But Starling Marte has been suspended 80 games for PEDs. So I guess Adam Frazier is going to be filling in for him primarily. Do either of you guys, Van, I guess we'll start with you. Any interest in Frazier?
No interest. And well, they called up Jose Ozuna as well, so supposedly he'll get some starts. But to be honest, if you have Starling Marte, I think there are probably better options out there for you to pick up rather than dealing with Adam Frazier. He's more of a Pittsburgh guy that might help them a little bit, and I don't even think he's going to do that. But on a fantasy league, I have very little interest in Adam Frazier.
Any difference of opinion for you, Ron?
No, I mean, I think there's a reason that he's only 6% owned. And the only thing that sticks out to me that could be a positive is in an extremely, extremely deep league, he is eligible at second base and outfield. But other than that, no, I mean, I looked through and there's at least two or three guys I saw that I'd add way before Adam Frazier.
Well, if you don't mind, proceed to tell us those names, because there are going to be a lot of people out there in approximately 100% of leagues that are going to be looking at replacing Starling Marte. So throw out some suggestions for the good folks, Ron.
Well, the first two that I saw, Steven Souza Jr. is 26% owned, and he's hitting .321. He's sitting at the top of the order. He's looked really solid so far. He's been hitting in the 1 or 2 spot. Two homers, 10 RBIs. I don't know how long the .321 average is going to stay up there, but you know, anytime he's out there, he's a good bet to be a power threat when he's in the lineup. And a guy that I don't personally like a lot, but he does hit in a good lineup, and he is, according to Yahoo, 23% owned, was Jason Hayward. He is hitting .300, 5 RBIs, 5 runs scored. You could do a little, I think you do a little better than Hayward possibly, but he was a guy that I like the lineup that's around him, so he could help you in a couple spots, but the average isn't going to hurt you. Like I said, I think Souza is going to see a little bit of a regression in average so far, but it was kind of shocking to me with the start that Souza's had, especially that he's only owned in a little over a quarter of the leagues.
Yeah, that is shocking to me as well. I really thought that he would be owned in more leagues than that. I actually don't have him anywhere, but you know, like you said, that the batting average, I definitely agree that will go down. His strikeout rate is down from previous years, from those astronomical rates, but if you look at his swinging strike rate, contact rate, all of that is just exactly the same as it's always been, so I think that K rate will rise back up to the 30% range as well. But yeah, that's somebody that I agree, I think you can ride out as long as he's hot. Van, what about you? Anybody else to throw out there?
Well, I completely agree with Jason Hayward. I had him on the list. He's not owned very many leagues. He's having a bit of a resurgent year as far as just putting the bat to the ball. He does, I think he has 0 homers, 1 stolen base, so your supplementary stats really aren't that great, but I think he'll at least, you know, he'll knock a few homers in and he'll steal some bases, but really he's going to walk a lot and be decent. I put also on my list in a very, 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 very deep league, and I want to stress that, I think Leonis Martin is owned like 1% or 2%, and he should be, but he does have some speed. So if you're losing the Starling Marte, you know, 40-plus stolen bases this year, Martin's out there, it's a deep league, you might give it a shot and hopefully have a backup just in case. But if he gets some good matchups and has a little more luck than he's had so far this year, you could get some stolen bases out of him.
Sounds like your cat, Vlad Guerrero, really likes that pick, too.
She's mad because I had the door closed because I was like, oh, I don't want to hear her yell at me. And I do that, and then she yells at me.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah, let's see. I've got two more names to throw out, too. Shin-Soo Choo, he got off to a really slow start, and they dropped him in the lineup, but he's heating back up, and he's got some great on-base skills and some power. We talked about him in the preseason. Like I said, cold start, but I think that he is definitely worth an ad. He's very low-owned. And then Kevin Pillar is another guy who's got off to a really nice start. He's hit a home run today, a lovely caught stealing, so that's great. But he's been leading off some games for the Blue Jays since they've had some trouble at the top of that lineup with Devin Travis being ice cold. So I think Kevin Pillar is a guy that you can look at, too, and get some speed out of. Not a lot of power there, but primarily with the speed, and that's mainly what you're looking to replace, with Starling Marte, since, you 40 steals just don't grow on trees, so you're kind of just screwed, but hopefully those guys can help you out a little bit. But let's move on to some more terrible news. Josh Donaldson is going to the disabled list. Well, he's already there, but there's no firm timetable for his return. I've heard 2 to 4 weeks, but either way, it's not going to be the minimum 10-day stay. So we're looking at some third base filler now. So, Ron, let's start with you on this one. Who are you looking to add at third base to replace the Donaldson?
Well, for a couple guys that I had that have multi-position eligibility was one of the things that I was looking at. And it seemed like when you're looking for these guys, like we're looking at Marte replacements and Donaldson, and we'll look at a couple other guys we're going to replace here in a second, it makes it a little more attractive when you can use them multiple places. I think that makes up for the lack of stats you're going to get with some of these guys. They're on the waiver wire for a reason. The first guy I got is Jorge Polanco in Minnesota.
Oh, you dog.
Eligible at second, third, short, 15% owned, .292 average so far. Only got one homer, so I don't know if he's going to help you a lot in the power department, but he's got 6 runs scored, 6 RBIs. Had Yulieski Gurriel as well, eligible at first and third. And his average, he's kind of picked it up a little bit in recent days. It's just, I think when you drafted him or you got him, early on, you were expecting more counting stats, and he doesn't really have a whole lot to go by other than the .268. I don't know if that's going to stay that way, though. I think he could get hot and help you out a little bit with Donaldson being out. And then the last one I had was Ronny Torres from New York. And the only thing I didn't like about him was the low average, but he's eligible 3 places. I think that lineup's going to be sneaky good. The other thing I didn't like about his 10 RBIs is I think he had 4 of those in one game, if I remember right. So that could be something that's a downside there. I don't know how long he's going to be able to, keep up what he's doing. But overall, like I said, you can put these guys in a couple different spots. So if you add them, they can help you at third, but they can also help you in a couple other places as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Jorge Polanco is one of my preseason deep league dudes. And so he was one of the guys that I was going to throw out there as well. I'm disappointed that they're not hitting him second like I really thought they would. He's been sort of toiling away like fifth, sixth most days in the lineup, so that sucks. But hopefully, eventually, maybe, I don't know. Molitor's been screwing with that lineup so much, I don't know what he'll do. So maybe one day he'll get back towards the top of that lineup. But Van, what do you say? Who do you have at third base?
I have a couple guys for you, and these are, again, I'm going to preface with some deep league names. First off, Martin Prado. Basically, here's my reasoning for him. He puts the bat on the ball. He's going to give you filler points, and he's not going to harm you really in any category. He's not really going to help you, but if you're in a deep enough league that there's just garbage on the wire, Prado could at least get you some run score, drive in a couple of runs, but he's not going to steal a lot. He's not going to hit a lot of homers, but he's going to be okay. And then this next one is really gross, almost as gross as my leg sticking to this leather chair that I'm sitting in. And that is, in fact, Pablo Sandoval of the Boston Red Sox. It's disgusting. He's only hitting .143, but he also only has a .100 BABIP. So arguably that's going to level out a bit. The thing that's kind of, I won't say attracted me to this, but makes this reasonable, is that he does have 3 homers in his 50 at bats so far. So he's at least providing that power output. So if the average balances out and he still hits for a decent amount of power, he's in a stacked lineup and you could simply do worse. I think he's only owned in like 25% of leagues per Fantasy Pros. So there's at least some potential out there, even though it's disgusting.
Are you sure you're not actually sitting on Pablo Sandoval right now?
I might be. I don't know. He didn't say anything when I sat down, but maybe he's into that. Who knows?
It's probably as equally squishy as a leather chair. So
this is true, yeah.
And as water resistant. Yeah, I got two more guys that I want to throw out there too, and like you said, man, these are all kind of deep league guys. Just because, I mean, otherwise, if there's more owned guys, then obviously you probably want to have those guys. But I went on Yahoo, and all guys that I looked at were below 30% owned. So the only other guys that I have, Orlando Arcia, I actually wrote down. I was just looking at his play discipline though, and it's absolutely horrendous. So I don't know if I would do that. But, I mean, it's sort of a last resort, I guess. If you're in a deep league, you could look at him. But Zach Cozart actually is a little bit more intriguing right now. He's hitting for a really high average, and he did this last year too. He just missed some time due to injury. A little bit of pop, pretty much no speed, you know, so that's he's not the ideal, I guess, replacement. I guess we're doing Donaldson now, so that's not quite as bad. So you're kind of grasping at straws here. But Cozart is a guy who I picked up in a couple deep leagues, so you could look at him as well. So even more bad news as we continue this downward trend into hell. We got Howie Kendrick going to the DL with an ab strain. And he was more of a deep league guy anyway, but he had been really effective so far in the season. Let's see, I wrote down here any interest in Aaron Altherr, but is he even on the team right now?
Oh, that's a good question. I think he is. I think they called him up a couple days prior to this, actually, to be on the bench. I'll look it up.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on there because I like him because I've had him on the team. I play in a 19-team roto, and it has outfield-specific spots. And I've had him on my team for a couple of years, and the reason I like him in that format is just because he's eligible at all three. And when you get to that point in a league, I mean, you got to have bodies that get at bats, even if it's just a part-time platoon guy.
Right.
But he's hitting .308 so far, and he's 1% owned. So yeah, I'm definitely an Aaron Altherr fan. Absolutely.
Okay, you're an Altherr truther then. Perfect.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't sure if I was going to stumble upon one of those leprechaun type people, but we did.
Well, so I can put it this way as well. If that's the only league that I'm even going to think about rostering him in, so
yeah,
would have to be a pretty deep format.
That's the kind of league that I used to call it the Nick Markakis rule, which is not quite as prevalent these days because Markakis does a little more. But in the past, he would get 600 at-bats a year, hit two home runs, and steal two bases.
Yeah.
I mean, it was roster filler, and he gave you at-bats. And if you needed it, that was great. But if it was a much more shallow league, I think the argument was Angel Pagan. It was like, I'd much rather have Angel Pagan who could at least do something, even if he's going to be hurt.
Yeah, you know who that same person is at corner infield is Joe Mauer. Like, it doesn't matter how deep a league that you're in, Joe Mauer is always there. And you lose a guy like Josh Donaldson, and so you're in the Mauer zone, and you're just crying. And you're like, God almighty, this is just so bad. Because you know he's not going to give you anything except maybe some runs in RBI. So is there anybody else that I guess there's – God, he's eligible at so many positions. It's hard to just pick out somebody. Pick up one of the other guys we already talked about. Like, he's on Yahoo, he's eligible first, second, third, and outfield. So it's kind of hard to just pick out a replacement. And he's a deep league guy anyway. So if you're looking for a shortstop or help, perhaps we can help you out there. However, we're going to move on to even more bad news as we are in the flaming bowels of hell. Marcus Semien is out 6 or more weeks. Due to wrist surgery, killing me in my 24-team score sheet league where I have no infield depth whatsoever. So, good Lord. What are we doing here, Van? Help me out.
Well, a big name that you mentioned earlier was one that I'm going to point out, and that's Zach Cozart. I think he was not exciting, certainly, but a decent fill-in for Semien. And I think the good news here is that Semien obviously is not at the level of starting Marte or Josh Donaldson. But he's better than, I would say, Howie Kendrick. I mean, he was going to provide you some power. So if you've got him on your team, it's not going to be as damning as it would be if you had one of these big guys. So there's a few more options you can get. But I did really like Cozart. I think he's a bit underrated, to be honest. I don't think he's great, but he's going to provide you some power out of the shortstop position and not really kill you anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think, Ron?
Yeah, I like Cozart, too. I actually added him in a league where I kind of got stuck with in the draft. Arcia for Milwaukee as my shortstop, so I had a Cozart just kind of a backup plan. But a couple of the guys that we talked about with replacing Donaldson, so I'm kind of cheating on this one too. Polanco and Torres both have shortstop eligibility, so those are a couple guys you could look at. A guy that also was out there, and he's kind of like we talked about with Adam Frazier, there's a reason he's out there. If you want to try to replace some of the pop that Semien was going to give you, J.J. Hardy's pretty low-owned, and he's out there, and you pretty much know what you're going to get, potential for home runs and not a lot else. So, I mean, he's one guy that's out there on the waiver wire that could give you some of those runs back.
Indeed. And actually, I'm looking up Zach Cozart. Let's see what his position eligibility is, because I believe I put him on my wrong list. let's see. Shortstop only. Yeah, so that wasn't going to help you when we were talking about third baseman. Instead,
pay for effort.
Yeah. Oh, I'm rusty. What can I say? I took a week off. You got to give me a pass. The guy's
brain was burned. Yeah, we know.
Yeah. So, yeah, he probably won't be able to play Cozart in many third base leagues. So, yeah, Cozart, there you go. But the guys who I meant to talk about before were Joey Gallo and Ryan Schimpf, if that makes a little bit more sense. A little bit more power there. So
slightly more sense, at least, yeah, because your roster won't be illegal. So, I say.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and then if you're in deeper leagues as well, you can look at perhaps who will be Semien's, not direct replacement, because I think he'll move over to second base. I think he's actually already moved over to second base, and that's Franklin Barreto. I think he will be a pretty nice prospect when he gets called up. So we don't have a drop for this, I guess, so we're just going to move right into this little game that we're going to call Early Season Legit or Quit, looking at some hot starters here. Now we're going to decide whether we believe in the talent or not. And we're going to start off with Eric Thames, the River Thames, except that's not how you say that.
No. But I like it. That's good. I'm going to use that.
You know what? There is I was just dorking around on Twitter before. Oh, shoot. I lost it now. But oh, no. Here it is. There's a graphic that Mike Gianella tweeted out on a Brewers game. And they're showing all these crazy Eric Thames stats, and the headline was "Not the Thames as he was before."
Wow, that's like an MLB.com like pun that they put out there, and you know somebody at the MLB.com offices is sitting back in their chair with their arms crossed, nodding. Yeah, that's right. I put that out there.
I was actually thinking that they might have just been interviewing Mike Tyson, and they got a direct quote from him.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He'd be like, "Thames at the Thames, not the Thames."
Perfect. I'm glad I could snipe you on that joke. All right. Well, Ron, since I feel bad now for stealing your joke, we'll start with you here. What do you think? Legit or quit on Eric Thames?
I mean, it's you can't expect the pace to keep up. You know, I mean, it's legit for right now, but I think he can have a decent season. But, I mean, he's got a couple things working for him. I mean, he plays his home games at Miller Park. When you look at the park effect for the league, that it's ranked third behind Coors and behind Chase Field, so he's got that going for him. I think that offense is going to be a little better than what people thought it was going to be. I think it's going to be decent all year. He also has a few games where in division where they're going to play in Cincinnati at the Great American Ballpark, which was ranked ninth in that same progression as far as looking at the different parks as far as being hitter friendly. But when you look at him, 426, 7 bombs, he's slugging 1,000. His OPS is 1491. I mean, it's legit for right now, but I think he's going to crash a little bit. I mean, you could still see. I mean, he's already 18 homers away from 25. I mean, you could see 25 or 30 homers, but it's hard to say what the average is going to be when the season's over. So I'm kind of in the middle on this one. I think the power is going to be legit. I just don't know if obviously the rest of the stats are not going to be as legit as they are right now.
What do you think, Ben?
Eric Thames is, in fact, to me, too legit to quit. And I just actually read an article that Dave Cameron wrote on Fangraphs the other day. It was called The Even Scarier Eric Thames Stat. And it basically just talked about how good he's been with Z contact, which is basically contact on swings at pitches in the zone. That's really hard to say. Contact on swings at pitches in the zone. So if it's a strike, you swing at it, how good your contact is. And his has been really good, like top tier, like Bryce Harper level stuff. I don't necessarily think, kind of like you were saying, that really everything's going to carry over. Obviously, his numbers are otherworldly right now, but I think the power is legit. I think the average is going to be better than I would have guessed at the beginning of the year, but better than that, maybe, you know, 270, 280. So I think there's still a lot to like here. And I really would say that why isn't Trevor Story's line last year like a good marker? I think he could do that easily.
Interesting. Yeah, I think he can even be a little bit more consistent than that as far as what we've seen so far from him. Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up the contact, and that's really, looking into his what he's done so far, that's the thing that's made me shake my head more than anything, is just he's got just a 7% swinging strike rate, very, very low, 81% contact rate. And yeah, just incredible patience, 39% swing rate right now. He walked three times again today, and that kind of contact and lack of strikeouts is just not at all what I expected. I was really afraid. That's why I didn't end up with him anywhere this year. I really thought that he would be approaching like a 30% strikeout rate and he'd have a really, you know, really low batting average, but this, what he's doing right now looks really sustainable. And obviously there will be adjustments. You know, pitchers will find the holes in his swing, and you know, maybe they just start pounding the zone even more since he's taking all these balls anyway. I don't know. I'm not a major league pitcher, but these are all very, very encouraging signs to me. And if I had him, I would definitely not be selling high.
And one thing he did, and I want to point out, a lot of people, what they'll do is when they adjust their swings at this level, you get more uppercutty. Well, his is flat. Yes, uppercutty. That's a word. His is more flattened out. It's more of a level swing, and that's how he made his adjustments, and it's actually helped his contact. The fear with that would be that he was going to lose his power. Well, obviously, he hasn't lost his power, so there you go. But there's one other thing I want to bring up about him. I was reading today, apparently a couple of Cubs players were kind of throwing some hints that he was cheating out there. John Lackey.
Oh, yeah, John Lackey.
Did you read that? Well, Lackey's an idiot anyway, but yeah. Lackey came out and said it's a head scratcher that he's so good, and was doing little winks to the media. And so, yeah, whatever. But my favorite one was Chris Bosio, the pitching coach for the Cubs, came out and said that, oh, I don't know. The guy goes to Japan and he comes back and boy, his body has changed. Like, really, Chris Bosio, you want to talk about people's bodies changing? Like, you're it's just an idiot. Don't listen to that. I'm firmly in the camp of innocent until proven guilty with PEDs. And even then, I'm also in the camp of it really doesn't affect you that much as far as making you hit more home runs or whatever. So I'm not worried about that at all. If something happens, it happens. But don't give any credence to these guys who are throwing that out just because they're sore losers.
That's disgusting. Just because the guy is jacked, I mean... Yeah, he was eating sushi all the time. All you have to do is like do some bicep curls and eat sushi. You'll be jacked in no time.
Well, to go along with that too, he hasn't been in the league for 5 years either. So Chris Bosio very well may have not seen him up close for 5 years. You can do a lot of change in that 5 years time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I've lost so much hair in 5 years. It's unbelievable.
Exactly.
And just look at Chris Bosio. I mean, look how much fatter and bigger.
It's that Wrigley food, man. All right, we're going to move on to, let's see, our second early season legit or quit. Mitch Haniger has been out of his mind so far. We're going to start with you on this one, Van. What do you think about the Mitch Haniger? Can he keep it up?
I am going legit on him, but just barely. I think he's not going to continue doing what he's done, but he's still going to be pretty good. The BABIP he has really isn't that crazy. He's at 351 so far this year. And usually when you get guys performing exceptional below their lines, it's because the BABIP's crazy. So I don't think you can expect a lot of regression from there. However, his K percentage has increased just a couple of percentage points from his career average. And usually when that goes up, the batting average goes down. That hasn't happened yet. So I think there's some correction to be had there. He is currently sitting on a 293, 406, 569 line, which are all obviously far above his career. But he can walk, he's got okay power, and he's off to a hard start. So I'll just ride the bandwagon until I see otherwise or some negative signs.
Yeah, you've also got to add 3-for-5 today with a double, 3 runs and 4 RBI.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Even better. So are you in as well, Ron?
Yeah, I'm in. I looked at the thing I like a lot about him is the 406 on base, and obviously that's going to regress a little bit. But when he's getting on base in front of, you know, hitting in front of Cano and Cruz and Seager, I think that helps him as well. The only thing that I caught that was kind of a red flag for me was, and I know it's a small sample size, but he's only 2-for-10 against lefties so far this season. He's hitting .313 against righties. I thought that was a little interesting. So if he picks it up again against lefties a little bit, I'll be 100% in. But, you know, when you look at his overall body of work so far, if that's the only negative you can find about him, especially a guy that's that young, that's pretty good.
Indeed. Yeah, just the same as with Thames. I mean, just making really nice contact, 80% contact, 7% swing strike rate, showing a lot of patience. Both of these guys have that in common. And yeah, both these guys hitting second as well. So very favorable spots to hit in the lineup. I'm definitely hanging on to both of these guys too. We'll move on to then our third guy, Chase Headley. What do you think, Ron? Is this Chase Headley legitimate, this resurgence of the old man?
No, and the reason I will never say Chase Headley is legitimate, I don't care if he has 75 homers at the end of the season. I made a huge trade in one of my leagues for him after that big season he had with San Diego, and I will forever be butthurt about it. So yeah. That's all I'm basing my opinion on. I will quit 100%. I'm not in. I never will be. I don't care what he does. Chase Headley is dead to me.
Okay, strong words. Calling Headley out. Well, when of course we know when we had the great Nando DeFino on the show in the preseason, he was all about the Chase Headley. So, got to give him some kudos on this one. Yeah, that name caught me by surprise. But Van, are you on Nando's side or on Ron's side?
No, I am in fact zero legit to quit with Chase Headley. Not a fan. His walk rate is doubled. His K rate's down about 25%, and he has a .485 BABIP. So this isn't going to last. Ride the wave if you have him. Maybe try and trade him if somebody's dumb enough to bite. But just be ready to bench him when this inevitable downturn happens. I think he has some redeemable qualities about him, but not enough to really get that excited about him.
Yeah, for years now he's been, it's not like he's a bad player, he's just like an AL only player, right? He's just a middle of the road blah option, a filler, kind of like we were talking about with Joe Mauer, except with actual like some power. He actually had 8 steals last year, which surprised me. He's got 3 already this year, so he's out there giving it all he's got. And the one thing that is interesting is that walk rate. He's been a lot more patient so far this year. He's actually cut his chase rate just about in half. So his discipline has ticked up early on. His swing percentage down 8%. So there's that. So maybe you can give him a look in like a really deep on base league and see if this continues. But I have my doubts that it will. I think at 32, we pretty much have seen off just about 33 now. I think we pretty much know who Chase Headley is at this point, outside of that one half season with San Diego. So we're actually going to cut this game in half and take a break right about now. So we're going to come back after this quick break with some more Legit or Quit.
No Halftime is without a doubt the easiest way for daily fantasy sports fanatics to scratch that itch 7 times a week. At No Halftime, you simply bet on your favorite sports stars in one-on-one fantasy matchups and win real money. No draft, no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want and wherever you want with the mobile app for Apple or Android. Visit NoHalftime.com today and enter the promo code BGFS for an immediate $5 bonus upon signing up. That's NoHalftime.com and BGFS. Also, use promo code BGFS25, that's BGFS25, to get a 100% match on your first deposit up to $25. No drafts, no teams, no halftime.
All right, we have returned after that long, lengthy break. Hopefully you guys got all the drinks of water that you need, because we are back now to talk more early season Legit or Quit, and we're going to move on to Aaron Judge, and I can't remember who started the last one, so I'm going to start with Ron because I feel like it. Ron, what do you think about Aaron Judge? He's off to a hot start. Can he keep it up?
Power-wise, yes. I think average, he's kind of where I pegged him to be, maybe a little higher with the 250 that he's hitting. I know he hit a bomb tonight, so you can add another one onto the stat sheet there. It's kind of, I feel like when I'm giving my take on him, it's kind of the Captain Obvious take. You know, he strikes out too much. You know,
but do you have a great beard like Captain Obvious?
I don't.
You need to work on it.
But when you look, I mean, you look at the 44 at bats, 15 Ks already. I don't know if he struck out tonight or not. I haven't seen that part. I've just seen the home run. So, I mean, the power is definitely legit. I think he's a good bet for 25, 30 bombs. But it's just it's a question of is he going to hurt you enough in other play or too much in other places?
Interesting, Van. What are your thoughts?
I, in fact, have labeled Aaron Judge. I am above the legit. In my Judge Dredd line, because that's relevant. But anyway, I like Aaron.
Talking about Aaron Judge, like that reminds me of Sylvester Stallone. And I've been thinking, as far as like Aaron Judge, this guy's head, it looks like Sylvester Stallone. No, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think would be better. Like if you took Arnold Schwarzenegger's head and like photoshopped it, like with the shaved head of a koala bear. Like, that's what this guy looks like. I'm really excited about this guy. I want him to succeed because he's just a hideous, like, hulking human being.
Oh, he's a monster. Yeah,
he's huge. How long did it take you to think of that comparison? That's pretty amazing comparison you just made.
That's how my brain works.
That's pretty good. I like it.
It's very specific. Like, you sat down with a notepad and wrote that out and thought, koala bear. Sylvester Stallone, no. More like Schwarzenegger. But, yeah, no, so I like Aaron Judge. I mean, look. He's hitting 250, 327, 591. If I were to project at the beginning of the year what his top performance numbers would look like, it would be that. So I don't think he continues at that rate, but I think the 250, 327 is legit. I think the slugging comes down because that's just an insane rate. But he's going to hit a lot of home runs, and for the price you paid for him, I think you're in great shape, particularly if you're in a dynasty league. I mean, you're ready to reap the reward. So I'll give him the legit just because he's doing what I would expect him to do if he were to succeed.
I'm a little lower on the batting average. I think with when you got a contact rate that's sub 70% and you're whiffing so much, you're just going to be prone to a ton of strikeouts, and that's really going to kill your batting average. He kind of reminds me a little bit, the profile reminds me a little bit of like Cyrus Davis out in Baltimore. With you know, a lot of walks and just a ton of power, but a guy who could just strike out so much that it just completely tanks his batting average. But the one thing I would say that is a difference between those two is, like, if you look at what he's done so far, over 50% ground balls for Aaron Judge is not encouraging for the long-term power either. Only a 31% fly ball rate so far, which that has yet to normalize, so we'll see where it goes. But, I mean, obviously this guy's got the power. He's already been better than I ever thought he would be. You know, it's sort of hard to bet on a guy that huge because, historically speaking, there have been very, very few people, like just human beings that are that gigantic and hideous to look at that have succeeded at the major league level.
It's like Richie Sexson and that's it, right?
Pretty big much. Sexy. I mean, Frank Thomas. So yeah. I don't know. So I am very much rooting for him. I actually own him nowhere. So as far as guys that I don't own anywhere, I'm rooting for him more than anybody just because of the way he looks, if that helps anybody at all in the fantasy realm.
Expendables 4, look for Aaron Judge to star this summer.
He's such an action movie star.
As Aaron Judge starring as the leaf-eating Terminator.
Absolutely. We'll move on to let's get a pitcher in here. Actually, we'll get three of them in here in a row. Dallas Keuchel is off to a blistering start as well. The guy who I personally was very much out on in the preseason. He looks to be proving me wrong. Ben, we shall start with you here. You think this resurgence from Dallas Keuchel is for real?
I do. I, in fact, label him legit enough to rub it in Nate's snow-drenched face. You were a little rough on him earlier, but I mean, look, he's not going to do the Cy Young year again, but he's going to be a really good pitcher. He just doesn't strike out enough guys, but he's a control guy. His ground ball rate's at an insane 73.1, so that's going to go back to at least 60%, which is closer to his career norm. But he's doing what he does. He's not walking anybody. He's also not striking anyone out. It's actually less than usual, but that'll go up a bit. So I think he'll be fine. The FIP points to a 3.57 ERA, so it's a little bit more bullish. But it always does that for more contact-oriented pitchers. You'll always see those guys with a higher FIP. So I think he outperforms it, but it's not going to stay a 0.86 ERA, but he's still going to have a really good season.
All right, he's taking the over on the 0.68 ERA, Ron. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to side with the over as well, surprisingly, along along with the 0.62 whip, I'm going to have to take the over on that one as well.
Bold.
I was a big Keuchel guy coming in because I kind of thought last year was a little bit abnormal compared to what he's capable of doing. I look at his stats this year, and I look at he seems to be pitching pretty efficiently because when you look at his three starts, he's gone exactly seven innings in each start, and he's only got to 100 pitches in one of those. I think that's a case of doing a lot with when he's in there. Team's hitting 116 against him so far. Like Vance said, I look for the K's to go up a little bit, but obviously you're not going to see these microscopic numbers. But it's hard to argue against him, especially after three solid starts. Plus that lineup that's hitting behind him is always going to be giving him some run support. So I think he's definitely legit.
Well, here, I'll rain on our parades. He's given up a run to an Angel that wasn't named Mike Trout, so I guess I'm out on him now. I'm done.
that flips it. Yeah, I'm still out. I'm selling high if I can. Anyway, it's nice to see him. You know, Ron, you pointed on the pitch totals, and he is one guy who can throw just a ton of innings. You know, he doesn't put a ton of stress on his arm, and I think when he gets worked back in, you'll see him throwing 120 pitches, 130 pitches every game. So that is one nice thing in quality starts leagues. You know he's going to pitch deep into games and qualify for more wins as well. But, I mean, he's not striking a ton of guys out, and he's really living around the edges. He's, I believe, one of, if not the lowest, as far as zone ratings, percentage of pitches, in the zone, which was a problem of his last year, as he wasn't in the zone last year either, except nobody was swinging at it, and now all of a sudden people are swinging at it again this year, and I just don't know that he can continue to get those swings out of the zone when he's throwing his fastball at 88 miles an hour, and it's just a chintzy profile for me. I just don't have confidence. I can't say that I would be buying him too much. I don't know. I'm willing to be wrong, I guess, is the words that I'm looking for. At the risk of being stubborn, I guess. But it's just a little bit too much for me. I also owned him in a bunch of leagues last year, so perhaps I'm still a little bit snake-bitten there as well. But you can probably call me wrong at the end of the season, but I just can't buy it right now.
I'll point out, too, last year, the one of the big things that we've kind of seen after the fact is that injuries played a pretty big role in what he did last year, which is why I'm a little more willing to believe. Now, I'm not taking him as my ace, certainly, because if I have an ace, I'm going to strike guys out. But if he's my number two, number three starter, I think you're in pretty good shape on your team.
Yep.
Yeah, and he is inducing a ton of soft contact right now. So, that's one of those sort of the soft contact metrics just are so touchy-feely to me. I'm still sort of getting used to them. I don't love them, but it seems to be working. Like him and Kyle Hendricks, it's just something that works. But we actually talked about this on the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast earlier this week. I mentioned right at the end we were talking about Corey Kluber and his horrible start. Would you guys trade Dallas Keuchel for Corey Kluber if you could right now?
I would. I'd take Kluber. I'm a big believer in Kluber, though. I love the stuff. He did this last year where he struggled early on, and then guess what? He put together a really good season. So I'd take Kluber over Keuchel.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely have Kluber. I mean, I think he's got more of an upside. I think Keuchel can get close to 200 Ks. I think Kluber is a sure bet for 200 Ks, and he's not going to – I don't think he's going to pitch as bad as he is pitching now. But like you said, too, if you can get – you like Keuchel as your second or third, I don't mind Kluber as my one. In some leagues. So if you can trade a guy that's going to be a second or third for a one, if it's a buy low situation, you got to do that all day long.
Yeah, no, you've given me an idea. I didn't even know this was a thought. So now in the one or two leagues I've got Keuchel in, I'm going to start sending offers out for Kluber.
There you go. Wally Kazam. That's moving on to our second pitcher. It's Mike Leake. Hey, everybody's favorite pitcher. Savannah, we'll start with you on this one. What do you think about the Mike Leake? Keep it up.
I've got him solidly in my quit category simply because even when he was good, he really wasn't that good. He was an innings filler with a, high 3 ERA, which is what he ultimately could go back to. I don't think what he's doing now is legit. So I don't know. I feel like the price you paid for him, you're getting a value right now because you paid nothing for him because last year was really bad. But I'm not really going to bank on this guy. He's a guy I'm going to target if I've got a team with a lot of injuries and I need to fill some decent innings with you know, decent ERA and so forth. But I mean, I don't expect anything special out of him the rest of the season.
What about you, Ron? Taking the over on the 0.84 ERA?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the over on that too. I'm also going to have to go with the over on the 14-1 strikeout to walk ratio. I don't think that's going to hold up over a full season. To me, Mike League is just kind of a guy. You know, we talked about Joe Mauer being out on your waiver wire, and I think it became a joke last year with Joe Mauer. He was like a rental in one of my leagues. You know, it seemed like a guy was renting him for a week and then throwing him out there. And Mike League's kind of that guy as well in a lot of leagues. I mean, he's rosterable most places, but there's no way that this is going to keep up. He's not this overpowering guy that his stats kind of argue that he is so far this season. And the other thing I look at too, and I'm going to pick on them a little bit later on when we look at our streamers, is the Cardinals are dead last in the league in offense. So he's going to get nothing behind him anyway to get you any wins. So, it's a case of riding the hot hand right now. Get it while you can. But, like Vance said, you're getting a hell of a value right now, but it's not going to keep up.
Yeah, we're definitely sweeping this one. A guy who doesn't, strike anybody out anyway, and you're just seeing the start of the season really hot. Basically, if this was happening in the middle of the season, nobody would be paying any attention to it. But since it's at the beginning, everybody's clamoring to their waiver wires to give him an ad. And there's, when I look at success like this, I like to look into his pitch deployment, his velocity, all that kind of stuff, to see if there's any actual reason that he would be looking any better. And there's just not. There's nothing in his profile that has really changed at all. And so it's just, if you can get anything for Mike Leake, maybe cover up his name, pretend he's somebody else. I don't know, because I think if I just see the name Mike Leake, I'm probably just going to say no. But if you can get anything out of this hot start, then do it. But otherwise, just ride him while he's hot and then get rid of him when he's done. Chris Devensky is going to be the last guy that we talk about, and he's a reliever, guys, and we're talking about him right now. He's been incredible so far. I should have pulled up his numbers probably, but he is basically winning me all of my leagues, except I'm like losing them. But now that I've brought up his numbers, 11 innings pitched, 17.18 K per 9, 0.82 walks per 9 with a 0.82 ERA so far. So pretty good. He's basically like a rich man's Andrew Miller from the right side so far. So, Ron, we'll start with you here. What sort of leagues are you making use of Chris Devensky in, and do you think that he can be this valuable all season long?
I'm making use of him anywhere I can make use of him. He's a guy that I was trying to get everywhere I could. When I have pitching spots that are not labeled starter reliever, I always like to have at least one of these guys in there just to kind of help with your ratios a little bit. And when you look at his stats from last year, 104 Ks in 108 innings, 2.16 ERA, and he even started a handful of games as well. And really the only outing that he got blown up as a starter was starting Boston, where he gave up 6 runs in 2 innings pitched. Other than that, I don't think he gave up more than 3 in any scenario he was in. So I kind of thought about, if they move him to the rotation, is that going to mess up what he's doing? And except for that one start, it didn't last year. And he's even better this year. I mean, teams are hitting 108 against him. And it looks like they could move him to the rotation and he could get it done if they need him there. But if they leave him where he's at, I like having him there just because he helps you across the board. And he's going to get you some holds possibly. You got to like 21 strikeouts in 11 innings. And you got to like we said with Keuchel, you got to like the offense that's behind him. So I got him everywhere I could possibly have him.
Van, anything to add to that?
I'm giving him a legit, but it's a hazy one. I'm a bit more bullish than a lot of people. I do think the Andrew Miller comp was a good one because I think in the preseason we talked about, like, if you have draft a Rich Hill, who's going to be hurt all the time, but when he pitches, he's great. But then you have an Andrew Miller to fill in the gaps. Great. You've got one really, really good pitching spot. And I think Devensky kind of fits that role. I don't like him as a starter. I think if they start using him in that role, we're going to see some issues. He's a little older as far as quote prospects would go. I think he's 26 this year. So I don't know. Reliever usage is still kind of touchy. I like that we're seeing more Andrew Millers and more Chris Devinskys. However, how is that going to impact the health of these guys? So I think, I don't know. I think we're probably another 5 years away from getting a really good handle on that. I like him. I think if you've got him, great. But he's not a guy I'm going to trade for by any means.
Yeah, I don't know what trade for. For sure, but if he's out there, I picked him up in all the leagues that I could. Shortly after the season started, I didn't actually draft him anywhere, but man, he has just been awesome. And as bad as my starters have been, Jose Quintana being one, he has just tried as hard as he can. I own him everywhere. He's tried his hardest just to destroy my season early on. So my only saving grace has been some really good innings from Devenski. And I am definitely – I actually kind of hope that he sticks in this middle relief, like super utility role, because I just don't want them messing with him if they start him. I just feel like maybe the magic dust will wear off. But we'll see, because I think if they can stretch him out long enough – I mean, he's thrown four innings in relief already. At that point, I don't know why you don't just put him in the rotation if they need him there. But we will see. He's definitely somebody who's going to be on my team until – I don't know, until something changes. I mean, 19% swinging strike rate. Good Lord. So with that, we're going to take a break and get into the bullpen report.
Just a bit outside.
And let's see, let's get into some bullpens here, fellas. We're going to start off with the Rangers, which, of course, is, I mean, where else would we start? It's just been a shit show all season long. Sam Dyson is now on the DL. According to rotoworld.com, his ego is broken, it's shattered. And they just had to put him on the DL. They couldn't deal with it anymore. He couldn't deal with it. So, Van, we'll start with you since you laughed at my jokes. Is it Bush time in Texas?
It is Bush time. I do want to say the actual listing for the DL was that he has a hand contusion.
Yeah, there's poor fella. There's no way that that's accurate.
Yeah, it's a mental thing. He's
you can read
up
between the lines and see it's really a bruised ego. So
yeah,
it really is. Yeah, that's very, very perfect descriptor there. It is Bush time. However, Bush has had some quasi issues with the shoulder. So if he's healthy all year, great. You've got a really good closer. I mean, he's a scumbag, but he's going to be a really good closer. However, if those shoulder issues crop up, I think Jeffress is the guy to keep an eye on. So I don't know, if you're really desperate for some saves and Jeffress is out there, I'd pick him up and put him on mid bench and just wait and see if Bush gets hurt. If a month later Bush has been great and we haven't had any shoulder injuries or issues crop up, then you can cut Jeffress because it's going to be Bush's job.
Any other names to throw out, Ron?
Well, I mean, Jeffress is the only guy that really has closer experience other than Dyson. What I ended up having to do in a lot of my leagues, because Matt Bush was gone, Jeffress was gone, I had to pick up Jose Leclerc. He's a guy that I kind of speculated on a little bit, throws a little bit of gas, hits 96, 97 on the gun. The other guy that the Rangers brought back from the dead was Keon Keela, who was the big hype guy as far as being their closer in waiting last year and really – kind of screwed the pooch at the opportunity. So he's a guy that you might look at as well. But like I said, a lot of my leagues, Matt Bush and Jeremy Jeffress were long gone. So I had to kind of go for the other deeper league options in Leclerc and Keela.
Yep, that covers it. Keela was the guy that I was definitely going to add in as well. He has got some interesting strikeout rates for sure. He's erratic, and apparently he is also a douchebag, not unlike Matt Bush.
What did he do? Like, I read that too, but I don't know what happened. Do you know what the issue was?
Yeah, he apparently was giving a lot, like, severe lackluster effort in the preseason. He was in a game and it was so bad, like, he wasn't stressing himself at all. His velocity was way down, and it was to the point where it actually rubbed his teammates the wrong way and they were getting on him. And that was enough. Apparently, he didn't have any nice things to say about that. He said, I don't know if it was another one of those I'm saving myself for the season things, like Yamatsumani Tomas said. But the brass didn't seem to care for it either, so they decided to send him down to AAA for a while.
When your teammates are like, oh, Matt Bush, you almost killed that dude, but you're cool, then, but you... You, man, you're rubbing me the wrong way. You know you've done something wrong.
Yeah. You got to take a look in the mirror at that point. all right, let's move over to Baltimore. Speaking of them, did we speak of them? I thought we just spoke of them. God, what am I smoking tonight? We got Zach Britton. I think I just always have, like, Buck Showalter is just always yelling at me in the back of my head.
That sounds good. Like, that's a life I'd want to live.
That's actually kind of cool. I like that.
It's terrible, though, because I don't like him. So So he's just.
Does he, in fact, tell you, my name is Buck, and I. Never mind.
No. We're not that kind of show, man. We can't do that here.
It's not that nasty of a cast.
No, exactly.
Not quite. But it is, like, every time I'm brushing my teeth and I look in the mirror and I, like, bend over to spit in the sink and I come back up, I see him behind me. It's one of those things. It's pretty creepy.
What kind of things is he telling you? Like, is he, like, a life coach for you?
He's like, I'll send you to AAA, but then I'll bring you up as a reliever only to start you again in 2 weeks.
He's like the Candyman of baseball.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
It's very disconcerting. I won't use you in the postseason.
My best reliever is going to be on the bench.
Don't say Showalter three times into the mirror.
Exactly. Oh, God, yeah, very disconcerting. He's scowling the whole time he's doing it as well. The man does not smile. Anyway, Zach Britton is who we were supposed to be talking about here. He is on the DL with a forearm strain, and he's going to be out for some time. Probably more than the minimum 10 days stays is my hunch. But who are we filling in with him, Ron? We shall start with you. Who is the interim closer?
Right now I think it's got to be Brad Brock. You look at what he's doing. He's got a little bit of closer experience, albeit it's in the minors and albeit it was at Class A. He did record some saves there. I think they would have looked at Darren O'Day, but I think he's more suited for that setup role. But plus, too, if you look at what he's done so far this year, I think he's got an ERA up over 9. And I don't think that's really what you're looking for in your closer, unless you're the Diamondbacks who think that Fernando Rodney's a plausible option. But other than that, it's got to be Brad Brock for right now, because I don't really see what else they have waiting in the wings that would fit that profile until Britton gets back. Plus, Brock's got 10 Ks, and he's not allowed an earned run in 6 innings so far.
Yeah, and he makes hard candy. So, Van, do you like him as
well?
Dang it!
Oh, my joke. I was waiting this whole time to make a joke about nasty sugary egg candy, but you beat me to it. All right. It's clearly Brad Brock in this case. I think long term, I think Gibbons could handle the role. I just don't think he's ready for it now. The scary thing with all of this to me is Britton on the DL with a forearm strain, which how many times do we hear forearm and then Tommy John happens. So I'm a little wary of that. So I think Brad Brock might end up with a full season of saves if push comes to shove. So he's definitely the guy to own. But like I said, I like Gibbons a little bit, just maybe not this year.
So out of all the guys we've talked about so far, are you guys spending the most fab on Brock?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
How much?
Ooh, well, I mean, that's going to depend on team construction and everything. I mean, if you're in desperate need of a closer, spend a lot. I mean, I think, again, he could have a full season of saves, and this may be our best speculative ad for a closer for this season. So if you spend over 50% of your budget, that may not be crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, Van, when you got the forearm troubles, that a lot of 99% of the time leads to some sort of either tear in the elbow or Tommy John. So, and I'm always a proponent to an auction leagues. If you're going to go after a guy and you need him, you need to aim high. So, yeah, I think 50% is a pretty safe bet, really, because like Van just said, again, he's got a chance at having saves from here on out as long as Britton's on the DL, and it could be a pretty long time that he's going to be out.
Yeah, I guess that's a little bit higher than what I would go with, just because saves come into the league so much, and it's not for sure yet, you know, that he's going to be gone for an extended period of time. Obviously, like I said, I think that it will be more than the 10-day stay for sure, but I was taking more like a third for me. So either way, it's definitely worth the investment. So we'll move on to the Cardinals, where Sung Ho Noh is perfectly healthy as far as I know, but he has been horrible. He pitched for back-to-back days, actually, and today, perhaps this answers our handcuff question, Trevor Rosenthal stepped in. He was throwing gas in the ninth inning and locked down a save since O was unavailable after throwing so many pitches the last couple days. So do you have any confidence, I guess, Ron, we'll start with you, in O as far as keeping the job? And I guess, obviously, Rosenthal is the handcuff, so basically I'll just ask your confidence in O.
Well, I think one of the things that he did with his season in 2016 is he bought himself a pretty long leash. You know, he was so good last year. I think they're going to give him a little bit more of a longer look than they would other guys that are kind of floundering in the role. But like you said, you know, he's pitched. He wasn't available because he pitched 56 threw 56 pitches in those two outings in the first couple of games of the series. So he seems like he's getting into too many jams. And I don't think that's something that you want out of a closer. Obviously, you want him to get guys out. His whip's very high. He's got three outings where he's thrown 23, 28, and 38 pitches. Now, I will say he has gotten a little bit better. Coming, you look at that 8.1 ERA. It was cut in half from where it used to be at 16.2. So it's coming down a little bit. But that 1.95 WHIP is the number really sticks out to me. I have a little bit of confidence in him, but I got to see him getting out of jams more. Rosenthal's pitched well so far. The only other guy that I looked at as well is Jonathan Broxton, but he's had two decent outings, and he's had a couple of implosions where he's allowed like five runs in about an inning and two thirds. So I think O's going to be the guy, and I think he's going to get a lot of time to sort it out. But you got to think too, Rosenthal has looked good in that position as well. So overall, I think the 2016 season gives O a little bit longer of a look, but I don't think they're going to have any problem if O continues to struggle to flip flop him and Rosenthal in the eighth and ninth.
Interesting. Van, what's your take?
Well, you know, I asked Cardinals super fan and co-host of my other podcast, the backup catcher Brian Vaughn, what he thought, and he kind of is along your lines, Ron, in that he thinks O is going to have a really long leash, and eventually he rights the wrongs and he's okay, which I can see. That's okay. I'm a little less confident in that, and I do think if it comes to it, I think they will switch to Rosenthal and go with it. The other guy that's in the bullpen that they like to point out is Kevin Segrist. And if you've ever watched a Cardinals game, the announcers love to have this narrative of, here's the ground ball specialist, Kevin Segrist. Like, anytime a guy gets on, like, oh, man, ground ball specialist right here, Kevin Segrist. And, I mean, he's fine at ground balls, but it's just this weird narrative they attach to him. I don't think they're going to move him. I think he's seventh, eighth inning guy. I think Rosenthal, they'll give the job back. Matheny likes those, you know, guys who've done it before, and Rosenthal was the elite flamethrower for a couple of years there. So I think ultimately I would think the save chances get split 50-50 for the full season as a whole. I think they give O some more time, but ultimately he's an older guy who relies a lot more on movement than, you know, your blazing fastball like Rosenthal, and that's what people like as a closer. So I don't know. I'm a little less optimistic about O, but I think there's a chance he could have the job or keep the job.
And Segrist is one guy, like in MLB The Show, I just cannot hit that guy. I don't know why I always seem to face him like every month when I'm playing Road to the Show.
Ground ball specialist.
Like that stupid delivery too. Like I just can't, I can't do it. But yeah, oh, to be perfectly honest, he scares the crap out of me right now. It's just really disconcerting seeing that caper nine all the way down at four right now. And his velocity is down a tick, and his swing strike rate has dropped. Last year it was incredible. It was 18%, and it's still 11.1%, which is, you know, it's good, but for a reliever, it's not great. You know, in this day and age of high strikeouts, and you want these, you know, he's drafted as an elite closer, and you're definitely not getting elite numbers. At least the control is still there. You have to handcuff Rosenthal. I think he's pretty much the guy. They seem to have retooled him, and I like what I'm seeing from him so far. I think I would actually be selling O if anybody's taking, like, if you know, I'd be looking for somebody who needs some saves, and I'd be getting rid of him because I have no confidence. Like you said, Ron, you know, I think that he does have a pretty long leash. I think he's going to have to implode several times in a row before he gets yanked from that closer role, but I think it's just a matter of time myself.
More like the next to last boss.
Oh, I love O so much. Oh man, yeah, the best nicknames, and like he's just so fun to watch. But he is old too. He's almost 35, so it's not necessarily like to have declining stuff at that age. Obviously, it happens to everybody. So very, very disappointing. But let's get to, you know, we're talking about some old guys right now, as I am the king of transitions tonight. We're going to go from old dudes to young dudes, and we're going to move on to a prospect segment. It is the On Deck Circle, which you can, of course, find on Big Guy Fantasy Sports, and Ron does that every week, and so we got a couple guys to talk about now. So the first guy that we're going to talk about is Cody Bellinger. So, Ron, can you give us the down low on him?
Yeah, so when we look at Cody Bellinger, the first thing that stood out to me was, when is he going to get called up? And I looked at what the Dodgers are doing offensively, and more specifically what they're doing in the outfield. Because when you look at Cody Bellinger, one of the things that stands out to him is his glove at first base. He's pegged by a lot of scouts as being a gold glove guy there. His defense actually grades out higher than his power, and he's really come on in the power department the last few years. So that kind of gives you an indication of what he's able to do defensively. But with the Dodgers having Adrian Gonzalez there, it's not going to be any time soon that he's going to take over that spot, you know, barring an injury, something along those lines. So when you look at the outfield, you look at the Dodgers outfield, the guys that are out there, aside from the, you know, Yasiel Puig, which we've seen start seasons like this, show flashes like this, but you never know what you're going to get with him on the field and off. But the rest of the outfield for the Dodgers, I think Andrew Tolles was the guy that was hitting with Puig around 295, I think, right now. Tolles is hitting about 243. Other than that, everybody else is below that. And I think that they could really use Bellinger as kind of a shot in the arm. When you look at his numbers in the minors, five seasons, and he kind of came on as a guy that it looked like the Dodgers were wanting to just focus on just kind of being a professional hitter, not really a power guy. And he was able to do that a little bit. You know, when you look at, he's played 354 games in the minors and he has 63 home runs, which doesn't sound like a ton, but when you look at the 63 that he has, 56 of those have come since 2015. So you can kind of see that the power strokes has developed. He's worried more about getting a little bit of loft on the ball, getting the ball in the air. Overall, he's off to a pretty hot start this season. He's hitting 372 at AAA right now for the Drillers. You know, his line looks overall 372, 438, 674 in his first 11 games. He's got three bombs. And when you look at what he's doing there, it's going to be hard. It's kind of like I talked about last week with Franklin Barreto, especially now that Simeon's injured, even though the A's say they're not going to bring him up before June. Who knows? But the Dodgers can afford to do that a little bit more. I think, you know, when you look at small market clubs, like, you know, like I'm a Rays guy and I know how they operate, you tend to see them keep guys down for a little bit longer. I think you could see Bellinger. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw him in May when you look at what he's going to bring to the table. And it kind of bars the Dodgers from having to go out and make a trade or make a move outside the organization. He could be the fix that they're looking for in their own organization. The only negative I see about him is I'd like to see him strike out a little less than he is this season. He's got 14 strikeouts and 48 plate appearances to start out the season. But, you know, when you see what he can do with the glove, when you see that 372 average, when you see the bombs he can hit, I think it might cause the Dodgers to look the other way as far as the strikeouts, because you're going to be getting a solid defender. He does have a little bit of experience in the outfield, and he doesn't look overmatched out there. He looks like, you know, he's a guy that belongs there defensively. And then when they can make that switch with him at first base, you know, they add a gold glove caliber guy there as well. So I think it's a question of when they elect to call him up, but he's definitely trying to break the door down, and he's hard to ignore at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the guys that I would be stashing in. Definitely in NL-only leagues and in deeper mixed leagues already, he would be on my bench for when he does get called up. Man, I saw that swing for the first time this spring. Holy crap. I can definitely see where the swing and miss comes from, but also the power. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So the other guy that you wrote up this week is Eric Fetty. So what about him? Is he going to be up this year as well?
He's a guy that you know, when we look at the first couple of pitchers that I've profiled with Lucas Giolito and with Jeff Hoffman, I'm hoping to hit one on the head here, because those guys have been dumpster fires so far. But Eric Fetty's a guy that became, once Giolito was dealt out of town to Chicago, Fetty became the guy that's the top pitching prospect in the organization. And I think he's kind of forcing the hand a little bit, just because I don't believe it was in the plans for him to come up this season. But when you look at what he's done in the minors, he's got a 3.03 ERA, 1.19 WHIP, 14-8 record overall. He's keeping the ball in the yard. He's averaging less than, he's about a half a home run per start and 8.8 Ks per nine. Not really known as kind of a power pitcher that's going to have a high K per nine, but he is going to be able to strike some guys out with the stuff that he has. The other thing he has working against him is he has Dusty Baker at the major league level. We all know Dusty's fondness of rookies as far as, you know, when they come up to the major league level. And he's off to a hot start too. He's one of the he's out of the three pitchers, he's definitely the guy that I've pegged that's got the best start so far. Now, he is, granted, he is at Double A, so he's going to have to More than likely prove himself at AAA as well. But in 11 innings this year, he's not allowed a run yet. He's got one of those microscopic whips, kind of like we talked about with our boy Mike Leake earlier, 0.89, 9 Ks, just allowed 7 hits. So he's really showing what he can do at this point, and he's looking impressive. I think if you see him up this year, I think there might have to be some real struggles in the rotation. Gio Gonzalez, Joe Ross are a couple of guys that if they flounder a little bit, you could see him be called up. I wouldn't really bet on him till maybe after the All-Star break. As far as I highly doubt, like I said, with Dusty Baker where he's at, that they would bypass AAA and just bring him directly up to the show. But it could be something you might see later in the year. He's not a guy that I would run out and stash anytime soon, but I think he's definitely a guy that you could put on your watch list in especially deeper leagues or NL only leagues. He's not going to be up as quick as Bellinger, I don't think, but he is off to a hot start as far as what he's doing at AA. And I think he's really kind of, like we said with Bellinger, he's really going to force their hand, especially if somebody in the rotation struggles.
Interesting. Okay, so definitely a tick behind Cody Bellinger as far as the stashability rating.
Yeah, he is, and I think another thing that he has going for him too, he is 24, so he's a little bit more mature than a lot of other prospects you're going to see, but I don't know if that in Dusty's eyes is going to make him any less of a rookie if he does get up there.
You were 34 maybe, but no, yeah. Not with Dusty Baker.
You know, and that reminded me of something that we totally forgot to talk about. Is a very recent development, though, but something we should have mentioned in the bullpen report, and that was obviously the Nationals bullpen, because there has been some changing there again. So I've actually got two prospect names that I want to throw out before we completely move off of this. But let's circle back and fix the error of omitting the Nationals bullpen. So now Blake Treinen appears to have been yanked from the ninth inning, and Sean Kelly, not Joe Kelly, wrong team. Sean Kelly got the save, came in and put out the fire that Treinen started. So what level of confidence, I guess, do we have that Sean Kelly can keep the job the rest of the season? A guy who, in my opinion, he should have had the job out of spring training myself, but hey, I'm no Dusty Baker. So, Van, what do you think? Are you confident that Sean Kelly can keep the job now the rest of the season?
Confident, no, but I would lean towards yes, him keeping it over him losing it. I think I agree with you. I think he should have had it out of the gate. He should have had the job. I think the question with him was a little bit more health oriented, and he's already shown that he's okay. The velocity's good, so I think he could hold it. But I don't know. I have this feeling that this Nationals closer role is going to have a narrative all season of wishy-washy, questionable until they make a big trade at the deadline and, you know, have somebody. Now, I don't know who that somebody might be. Might even be David Robertson still. But I don't know. I'm not that sold on Kelly. I think he'll be good, but we'll see.
God, they seem to hate Kelly there. I don't know why. Ron, what is your feelings on the situation?
Well, I mean, I agree with the fact that Sean Kelly was the guy, should have been the guy from the start. But I saw a report that came out a couple hours ago that said already that Kota Glover is going to share duties. So who knows? So, well, like I said, he got Dusty up there, and Kota's not exactly a crafty veteran. So that could just be smoke. I don't know. But, I mean, of the three guys, I have Kota Glover, you know, in a couple leagues. It's kind of a case of like what we talked about with Sam Dyson. You know, Sean Kelly and Blake Treinen were both gone, so I went for the next guy up. So, I mean, you could get him as a speculative ad, especially if Kelly and Treinen are gone in your league. But I think it's going to be Sean Kelly, you know, unless you see a huge – huge implosion from him. But, you know, Kota Glover, like we said with Eric Fetty, you know, Dusty's not real fond of the rookies, so who knows at this point.
Yeah, and it bears mentioning as well in that case that, like, they don't want Sean Kelly pitching in back-to-back days, so perhaps if Kelly gets a save one day, they want to give him the day off the next day. Maybe they throw Glover in there in a save situation. So that's something that bears monitoring. But before we take our final break, I wanted to mention two more prospects. And, you know, Ron, you've been profiling guys that have a chance to get called up this year and have more impact in redraft leagues. But I want to throw out some names that are basically Dynasty League only, some younger guys that have popped up And because I mentioned this, on the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast, I think that this is the time of year where you need to be really monitoring the minor leagues and your dynasty leagues. You know, we like to touch on that format and the Dynasty Keeper format here on this show quite a bit. And right now is when you really need to be looking for the pop-up prospects, the guys who didn't get drafted in a lot of your dynasty rookie drafts, your rookie redrafts, whatever you want to call it, supplemental drafts. These guys were a little bit lesser known, but I think both of them will be top 100 prospects come midseason. One of them is Albert Abreu with the Yankees. He's a starting pitching prospect. His velocity has ticked up a little bit. He's always had a lot of velocity. He was acquired from the Astros after last year. And basically, he's touching triple digits this year, and his problem has really been control in the past. But so far this year, he has just 3 walks in 14 and two-thirds innings to go along with 22 strikeouts. And so he's got really, really good stuff, and I think that he's a guy who could ascend very, very quickly, 21-year-old starting pitching prospect with the Yankees. And the other one is Mitchell White, or Mitch White, depending on what site you're looking at. So I don't know what he prefers to go by exactly, but he was the second-round pick from the Dodgers this past year, so still a bit of a pedigree, but he was basically Keith Law came out and said recently that if this past 2016 draft had been conducted today, that he would probably be a top 5 pick because his stuff has ticked up so much since the Dodgers drafted him. And he actually, since I recorded that podcast with the DMF guys, he finally got allowed a run allowed against him. Because up to that point, between 2016 and the beginning of this year, he had 31 innings of scoreless baseball with only 8 hits and 41 strikeouts.
Whoa. Just,
yeah, ridiculous stuff. And finally he got knocked around in this last start since that podcast. He must have heard me talking about him because he gave up 3 runs in an inning and 2/3. And so it was not good, but still 2.53 ERA on the season.
I want to point something out here too. You kind of mentioned names earlier. This is off topic, but have you guys noticed that they're calling Nick Castellanos Nicholas this year on some of the fantasy sites?
Yeah, Fantrax is doing that, aren't they? Because I have him on my team, and I think that's where I saw that. Yeah, I was kind of curious about that as well.
It's kind of weird. I didn't know if it was a Giancarlo Mike situation, like where he wants it, or
I saw that and I wondered like if his mom was in charge of the league and his mom was upset at him and she started saying, "Not Nicholas." You know? So I wondered if that was a case of that. I'm not sure.
I actually mentioned that in my dudes and don'ts at third base because Castellanos was one of my dudes. And so I touched on that. And as far as I could find, like I actually found a quote where he said, "I'm still Nick." So it's just officially, like, as far as the paperwork and everything goes, he wants it to be Nicholas now because that's what his actual name is, but everybody still calls him Nick. I don't know why.
Gotcha.
Okay, good to know.
Just to throw everybody off, I figure.
It's good to know he's not great. He's probably not grounded then.
No.
Right, yeah.
He
believes he's so powerful that he can call himself whatever he wants. It's like some idiot whose real name is something different than what they go by. What just jerks those people are.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good to know you can still watch TV after 9. So good for him. We're gonna take a quick break and then round out the show with some streamers. All right, boys, we are getting ready to get out of here. Before we do that, one thing that we like to do since this show is released just before the weekend is give the people some streaming options that are coming up on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you know, just if you got nothing better to do but to play around with some matchups, then go ahead. Hopefully, get yourself a quality starter 3. So I guess we'll start with you on this one, Van. Do you have any streamers to give the people for the weekend?
I have a few guys, and these are, again, kind of deeper names that I kind of like. CeCe Sabathia is going to face a pretty weak Pittsburgh team on Friday night. He's been solid this year. I mean, obviously, he's not the CeCe of 6 years ago or whatever, but he's playing on a team that's winning every single game they ever play. So that kind of helps, and he's going to have, like I said, a decent matchup. Joe Musgrove actually had one bad inning against the Angels on Tuesday. Other than that, pitched pretty well. He's going to get another kind of questionable Rays offense in Tampa's Colossal Stadium on Sunday. So that's a good one. And then, of course, Jordan Montgomery of the Yankees has actually pitched pretty well. He's a guy who limits homers. I'm not that excited about him, but until the league figures him out, I think he'll have some value in the early going.
Eno Saris was just raving about Montgomery's stuff. So as far as just a pure stuff guy, he's definitely a guy to take a look at. I totally agree with that. And CC Sabathia gets my full stamp of approval as well. I've actually picked him up in numerous leagues so far, and I've been riding him. I really like the soft contact that he induced last year. His overall numbers weren't great, but I play in deeper leagues, and so that's the kind of streamers that I'm looking at. And I'm holding on to him for now. I don't think that he'll necessarily be this good. I think he'll be a back-end guy for the most part. He doesn't strike a ton of guys out like he used to. But, yeah, I'm fully on board with those calls. What about you, Ron?
Definitely on board with Montgomery as well. You look at Pittsburgh's hitting .234 as a team, and they're all of a sudden without Starling Marte as well. So I think that works in his favor. I went with a couple of guys that are in between 20 and 30% owned in addition to Montgomery. A guy that I don't really like myself, but, if I had to go with a contrarian guy, I guess, in DFS or in a really deep league. Chase Anderson's out there, 30% owned, going against St. Louis. I touched on St. Louis earlier. I think they're hitting .209 right now. They're dead last in the league. And when you look at Chase Anderson over his career, he's got 5 starts against the Cardinals, and he's only posted a 2.42 ERA against him. So he's been decent against them. He's got a nice history against them. The other guy I looked at that's only 22% owned still, BGFS favorite, Antonio Senzatela.
Senzatela.
So, he's still pitching well. San Fran hitting .239 on the year. 19 innings for Senzatela, 2.37 ERA, 14 Ks. So I think he's going to give you some solid all-around stats. And I can't believe that more people aren't on him. I don't know if it's a case of him pitching at Coors. He's going to be pitching at Coors against the Giants this weekend, so we'll see. But I think that's probably the main thing that turns a lot of people off when they look him up is the fact that he's going to pitch half his games at Coors Field.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty fair deterrent.
Yeah,
Chase Anderson was on my list too. He's tripled his cutter usage so far from last year up to 15%. It's been terrific for him, and his swinging strike rate is up 2%. Perhaps as a result of that. So he is definitely a guy that I'm looking at. He needs to be owned in more leagues, too. So the other two guys, there's not a lot of other options that really excited me. So I have on Saturday, Jesse Chavez. Perhaps I can get your thoughts on this as the resident Angels fan, Mr. Lee. But he is home against the Jays. And the Jays, I feel like, are a team that I can pick on. They've been really just garbage to start the season. Chavez, I mean, to me, he seems like just a real junker baller, but this changeup has been really good so far this year. Swing and strike rate, like I said, with Chase Anderson, Chavez is up 2% so far as well, the swing and strike rate. So, I mean, do you have any personal thoughts, Ben?
Well, I'd agree with it. Just having watched all the starts this year, I think he's a streamer is the perfect guy to list him as. And guess what? The Blue Jays strike out a ton right now, and they don't hit anything right now. So I think it's a pretty good team to throw him out against until the Jays start coming around, because I still think they're a better team than they're playing as. But I do. I like him in that regard, and I like him on the Angels staff because they need someone who will provide some decent innings, and he's going to do just that. And if guess what? If Mike Trout hits 2 home runs, then there you go. You might have a win.
There you go. And plus, he's got crazy hair, so that's fun. and then the other guy, Ariel Miranda. I don't really have a whole lot of interest in the long term, but for this particular streaming start at Oakland, I mean, anybody at Oakland, I'll probably throw them out there. Very pedestrian K rate, 7.13 per 9. He's homer prone, but Oakland obviously helps quite a bit in that regard. So he's a guy that I think I would take a chance on in a deeper league.
Plus, he can't talk because he sold his tongue to that evil witch or whatever so he could get rid of his mermaid tail. I don't know anything about the mermaid, but I know her name's Ariel.
His last name is also Miranda, too, so that's a pretty mermaidy name.
Yeah, that's pretty close anyway. And when he pitches in the seashell bra, that's when you know he's going to have a good night.
I keep waiting for him to get called on a balk when his fishtail gives off of the rubber when he's starting his delivery. It hasn't happened yet. I don't know. I think the MLB needs to look into that myself, but... But that's going to be it for today, guys. Enough tomfoolery for one session. So thanks for joining us again, Ron, this week. Nate Miller, I believe, will be back next week. He had a kid this week, so hey, congratulations. He just had that popped a little one out today, and I think it's a pretty poor excuse to miss a podcast, to be perfectly honest, but I guess I'll give him a pass on this one. But so thanks again for joining us, Ron. So what do you have going on this week?
Just catch me over at Twitter, The Real Made, and I'll be back next week on BGFS with another prospect on Deck Circle. Been fun, guys.
Very good. Van, what about you? What do you got going on these days?
Absolutely, it has been fun. I'm always busy, but you can find my garbage writings at bootuink.com. That's BOTUINC.com. And I host another podcast, which is called The Backup Catcher. You can find us at backupcatcher.com as well. And that's pretty much it for me. Manly Van Lee at Manly Van Lee.
You are manly. There's no doubt about that. How's Pablo Sandoval doing, by the way?
Well, he's all right. I mean, he squeaks if I rock back and forth a little bit too much. Other than that, silent.
Well, I hope that his facial hair grazes your neck ever so gently. But you can find my other words at the Dear Mr. Fantasy podcast earlier this week, but also perhaps from time to time on the Fantastics Insider Baseball radio show on SiriusXM's Fantasy Sports Channel. I will be appearing there from time to time on their Sunday edition. You can also find my written word over there, Fantastics Insider Baseball. And, of course, at Big Guy Fantasy Sports, I will be tomorrow night I will be writing up a Fire and Ice article, which, of course, I missed last week because I was on vacation. I'm actually pretty excited to write again. So until next week, folks, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.